Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Good evening and welcome to it. This is Thursday Live with me, Godfrey Mwabi. A beautiful Thursday indeed. Thursday evening, for that matter, the 1st of October 2020. I hope that all is well with you wherever you might be. And remember, we are still on level one on lockdown. We are not celebrating as yet, shouldn't be celebrating as yet. That means we should be extra careful and make sure that we continue as if we are on level five, and we don't become reckless and irresponsible, knowing for sure that we're still battling and fighting this pandemic called COVID-19. Let's make it our aim and our duty that we remind whoever we see that they might have forgotten what we are battling with, that COVID is still here and it hasn't changed. It's still as dangerous as it was when it came in this country. It still kills, and therefore we shouldn't be irresponsible, and more especially those who like partying. Please, guys, let's be responsible adults. I mean, we cannot afford a situation whereby we allow the government to parent us, you know, to become our parents. No, it doesn't work like that, man. Minimize, restrict your unnecessary trips. Actually, don't find yourself, you know, involved in things that are not necessary. If you don't need to go out of your house, if there is no need, stay in your house, stay in your home. And yeah, let's do our best to fight COVID-19. And we are now honored to be speaking to Ntate Mphosello from the Global Business Roundtable. And we're talking about a road to destiny. He's a very, very special one indeed. I'm sure it's the first time that I get to interview this one, Ntate Mphosello, one of the finding members. I know that the vision was given to the convener, but he's one person that believed in the vision, even though it didn't, you know, look real by then. So he just believed. I remember when they first came here to sell the dream. You know, it was just a dream back then to us at Radio Pulpit. Mphosello was here, and Apostle Robert Nyalungu accompanied His Excellency Ntate Mphosello. Ntate Mphosello, evening and welcome, sir.
Good evening, Ntate Mwabi. Happy New Month. And thank you very much for the invite.
Yeah, you can say to Mutomo Holarubo Ulesha, no man. You can say. but I'm right. For at least you are here. I mean, when the whole thing started, you're one of the people that started at GBR, right?
No, that's true. That's true. We have been there since the beginning by the grace of God. We've seen the dream of nothing become something.
Yeah. Even during our first meeting here at Radio Pulpit, you were here.
I was there, and yeah. I'm very surprised that you still remember.
I remember it vividly, hey.
Yeah,
even what has been said there, because actually we risked as Radio Pulpit. I remember we had our COO and our manager of our sales department there. Yeah, they were saying, guys, we are risking. We don't know you. We don't know whether this thing will take off. But look where we are today, 10 years down the line, and here we are.
What a risk. And they will tell you in business, the higher the risk, the higher the return.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So it has been a journey phenomenon.
Mm. Tell us more about yourself, sir. What is it, who is Mphosello, and what is it that you do? Besides the fact that you might be one of the directors or the trustees of GBR and GFFJ.
I am actually an ordinary member of GBR and GFFJ. I believe in leadership from the back, leading from the back. But besides that, I'm a small boy from the Vaal, born and bred. I was born a Zulu, raised a Sotho. I'm in business, I'm in construction, I'm in training, I'm also a pastor, ordained pastor. So yeah, I think in a nutshell, That's who I am. I believe also that I'm called for the marketplace. I'm called for the marketplace because business is what I do. Business is what I believe. Business is what I think would set anybody apart in this life and in this kingdom.
Wow. That's Mposelo, ladies and gentlemen, on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Tonight we're talking about a road to destiny.
Hey, we are talking about a road to destiny. What a lonely road.
Hmm.
We are called Ntatemoabi, all of us. We are born with a mandate from above. We are called to fulfill a purpose, a mandate, and we are called for destiny.
Hmm.
And it's quite critical that all of us must be intentional and aware that when God decided to bring any of us into this world, He brought us to propagate a particular purpose. In this world, and therefore, it does not matter where we are born from. The issue with God is where He's leading us to, which gives us a voice in our generation. Everybody, all of us, we've got a voice to our generation, and that voice is supposed to be fulfilling the purpose of God, and that leads us to our destiny.
I'm sure before you can think about the road, before you can think about making sure that your car is roadworthy, you must know your destiny, right?
It's very important to know your destiny. It's part of the journey and the planning of the journey. But you know, with God, He could give you a sense of where you're going, but you don't know where you're going.
Mm.
Take Moses, for instance. Moses is born into the house of Pharaoh under phenomenal circumstances where he could have been eaten by crocodiles in the Nile. And here is this man, 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. His destiny is calling him. And I think at that time, there's some glimpses of what he could be thinking, where he is going. And all of a sudden, there's an abrupt change. God chases him away from Egypt, sends him to Midian, and meets some extraordinary thing. Imagine just in the middle of nowhere, here's a burning bush. And these things are part of the road, are part of the journey to destiny. And God sends him back to Egypt and say, I want you to lead my people to the promised land. He led almost 2 million people. He did not know where he was going. He was just led by God. And it's one of those things about the calling of God, the destiny of God, is that sometimes we have inclination that God has called us, but we have no clue where God is taking us.
Hmm. So now, what do you do, more especially when you encounter different challenges? Bo Thomas, Baba Dumela, Nkahubona, what thing about Baba Dumela? What thing about Thomas again now? And those kind. How do you convince them then that you are called and that you are going to a place that you have absolutely no clue about? Looking at the example of Moses.
Yeah, and this is where we are about the loneliness of the journey. Because one thing that we cannot argue is when somebody says they are called of God, and God gave them a vision or a dream. We can't argue. We have no grounds to argue that. Here is Joseph, and which is the main character that I wanted us to look at with an eagle's eye. That Joseph is born. He's born of a blessed man called Jacob. But after a series of barrenness from his mother, Rachel, Joseph is born. At the age of 17, Joseph is starting to see visions that he cannot understand. He did not ask to dream. He did not ask to see these visions. God just took control. When we go to sleep, we don't know what happens. And we don't ask to dream certain dreams. But God comes, and the Bible says God speaks in dreams, in visions. God speaks to Joseph at 17 years. That dream, that vision, that encounter that God gives to Joseph, leads him to a peak, because he also can't understand what he's seeing. He also is marveled by what he sees, sends him to a pit. A pit he sold as a slave to the traders. You know, there's nothing as bad in the Demoabi as being a slave. You are as good as a dog. You have no control of yourself. You are nothing. You are stripped of anything that you could think was dignity to you. And this is what Joseph goes through as a man, as a teenager, as a lad. He has no absolute clue where he's going. His brothers could not even understand that you think we will bow to you. You think we will serve you. And these are the Thomases. And it's hard to understand, and it's hard for Joseph to explain, because he just saw this particular dream. And look where he is today. He is sold as a slave. If there could be a bad experience that any man, any woman can face, is being a slave.
And the worst part is you being sold by the people that were supposed to protect you, your blood brothers.
The very same people you are sharing these visions, the very same people you are sharing your dreams with. And what's quite funny is that I don't know if Joseph understood the meaning of his dream, but here he is. His brothers are able to interpret. You think you will bow to you. And this young man is just sharing his heart and his encounter with God. And 20 years later, he is in Egypt, in a foreign land. He is exposed to foreign gods, and he is stripped of anything that could point him to God and his calling. He is actually in prison. He meets people that dream dreams. He is able to interpret their dreams, but his dream has kept him in prison.
And I'm sure back then he was actually doubting whether his dream will ever come to pass. And we find people with the same situation at the moment. What can you say to them, looking at the example of Joseph?
You know, it's very hard to believe when things don't make sense. And this is where the Bible says, we walk not by sight, but by faith. And I'm saying to you, anybody going through a lonely journey, a desert place, a night season, I am saying to you, if what God showed you in your dream, in your vision, is not what you are seeing now, keep on keeping on. One thing that distinguished Joseph was that the Lord was with him. There's a companion in the times of trouble. There's a companion in the dry seasons. There's a companion in your winter time, and his name is favor. Because whatever Joseph did prospered. Wherever he was, whether he was a slave, whether he was a servant, the favor of God distinguished him. And I'm saying that there are those little things, you know, that when people come to you, when you need prayers yourself, people say, come pray for me. And you pray for them, you see God answering them, you must know that there's favor with you. God is still at work.
I won't say little things, but the fact that you could see the hand of the Most High in his life kept him going, right?
I
kept him motivated.
And you see, God makes him be aware that I am still with you.
Hmm.
because he could still be chosen among the men and say, no, yeah. You are not going to be a manager in my house at Spotify. Mm. Even when he goes to prison, when he thought, oh God, I thought I've seen it all. Mm. It's enough. I've cried enough. I don't know where my family is. I don't know where I am. You know, people are born in KZN. They end up in Musina. They end up in a part of the world because of the calling of God. Where you feel nobody knows you. You don't know what you eat, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. But you still see God using you. In those minute things.
Looking at your example, who knew that today you would be a Mosotho? I mean, you're born in Zulu now.
No, definitely. It's quite interesting that even if I'm born in Zulu, I minister to kings now in Poatua. It's mind-blowing. And this is what is the purpose of God about restoration. That God, in his justice system, is to make sure that he strips you of anything that may look like a dignity. So that when you get there as Joseph, as the prime minister of Egypt, you will be able to give God all the glory, because you know, had it not been of the Lord who was on your side, the enemy would have long swallowed you.
And I think in closing, we shouldn't really forget the element of humility with regard to how he was crushed, how he ended up not being pompous and think that he is a self-made man. And I think most of the times we, as the believers of today, we forget that element of humility and element of pride, that sometimes what you're going through is the fact that our Heavenly Father is busy crushing us, removing pride from our lives, so that when we are up there, we won't think that we are there because of our wisdom, we're there because of our education, we're there because of our background, our culture, and the like, so that glory may go to him and him alone. How important is that, and that is alone?
You get to realize as you grow, that the Moabi, that God does not share his glory. When his disciples asked him how to pray, the latter part of the prayer, he says, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." Those things belong to God. God does not share his glory with men. And we should not ascribe the glory of God to ourselves. Whatever God uses us to answer somebody else's prayer, we must remember the glory belongs to God. And sometimes God delays our breakthroughs in life because while we still have some sort of pride, while we still have some sort of dignity, and because he doesn't want to share his glory, it may delay our breakthrough, so that he strips us of anything that we think we might have. And we remember that the glory belongs to God. So it must not have ambiguity, this issue. The glory belongs to God, Datumwari.
You know, we were just sharing this with one of my friends this week, and I was just saying to her, you know, that sometimes we are so crushed. And, you know, just jokingly, I didn't know the power that came out of that. I was saying to her, you know, we just get crushed, and then the next thing you are crushed to power, I mean to powder. And then the Holy Spirit will take that powder and turn it into, a soil. And then he creates you all over again. He makes a new person all over again from your crushed, you know, power state, and then the powder state. From that powder state, that powder now is all of a sudden becoming mud. Can we be made of soil? Is it soil or what, brother? What are we made of? Now English is running away from me now. Yeah, so that element that created that he created Adam with, but it was just a figurative, a speech there. But then it dawned on me that could be the case. Here you are, you might be crushed because you want to destroy the self in you, I mean the selfishness in you, the pride in you. Then you are now, before you know it, you think now he's done with you, only find out that he wants to make you a new person, a completely new person. Now you have to go to that dust state And then from that dust day, then he creates you and he shapes you just like he created Adam. But that's just a figure of speech. I'm not saying that it happens literally there. So, yes, Baba, what else can we say to our listeners with regard to whatever that they are going through to pinpoint to them that this could be part of your journey? Those little hurts that you encounter in life, the ups and downs, that might be part and parcel of the journey and the plan of your journey, even the map of your journey.
God does not leave us comfortless, but God does not use a man that is not crushed. Until you are down to powder, God does not use you. Now, we must always remember, we are not of ourselves. We carry with us the gifts of God. They are not of us. And we must remember that God does not come down from heaven, nor his angels come down from heaven to answer to human needs. Human needs are answered by humans. If you are going for the interview, you need a human being to approve you. God said to Samuel, I have found me a man after my own heart. Go to the house of Jesse and anoint him. But Samuel said, no. Saul is still a king. God said, but Saul, how long, when Samuel, how long will you cry for Saul? So the man between God and the destiny of David was Samuel. So God does not leave heaven to answer to our prayer. And I'm saying to you, in your crushed space, in your dry season, God will still use you to answer to somebody else's life's problems and prayers. But we must always remember, the glory belongs to God.
Wow.
We must not even remind people that you see him as Godfrey Mwabi like this. I did 1, 2, 3 for him. You are where you are in the position of power, anybody, wherever they are, because somebody helped them to be there. And it was God's doing. God gave us the chance to sit on his throne for a moment to help somebody to answer their prayer.
Wow.
It is not our throne. It is not our power. It is not our glory.
Wow, I'm actually tempted to go on and on and on, but unfortunately, time doesn't allow us to do that, Baba. Hey, that was powerful. I hope we'll have part two of this one. Please talk to Jose.
No, anytime.
Part two next week. Next week, please. I'm booking you.
Let's have part two next week. The size of our destiny is shown.
Yeah.
By the size of tribulations we go through.
Wow, wow. So the guy is not done yet. So you can hear
God
it as a listener of Radio Pulpit, and that the seal is not done. Baba, thank you very much for your time.
thank you very much.
Interesting and powerful topic there of destiny on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. For more on this one and more on GBR, simply call 011-242-8012, 011-242-8012, and their website is www.globalbusinessroundtable.com.
Did you know you can order your favorite Radio Pulpit programs on CD so that you can listen to them whenever you like? Contact our friendly client services department now to place your order. You will find them on 012-334-1200, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Words of truth and value. You'll find it on 657 AM. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life.